name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Mr. Mick Rory. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. 101.
Oh, yeah. You're too much. But you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes of this fantastic show. So, my friend Mick here. How you doing, Mick?
I'm doing good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, you sound better.
Yeah. I'm hot. It's kind of warm here. I'm going to take my sweatshirt off, I think. But other than that.
Okay. Keep your goggles on, though.
They look so cool on me.
No, they look hot on you.
Oh, they look hot on
no,
me.
No, yeah,
right?
My sunglasses look cool. Your goggles look hot. But all right, well, my friend Mick, a.k.a. Jay, is going to tell you about this episode that we're going to cover after being gone for what seems like a very, very long time.
It was last year that we last talked about Flash. It seems so long ago.
It does.
But we are back with Season 1, Episode 10, Revenge of the Rogues, which originally aired on January 20th, 2015, written by Jeff Johns and Kai Yu Wu, directed by Nick Copus. And here's a little bit about it in case you guys need a refresher course as to what we saw this last week. In this episode, revenge is a dish best served cold, and then hot, and then cold, hot, cold, hot. Well, you guys get the idea. Flash will have to stay on his toes to catch these rogues, because Leonard Snart, a.k.a. Captain Cold, has teamed up with Mick Rory to use the stolen Star Labs technology to get a little revenge on the Scarlet Speedster. Barry and the team have to discover the best method to stop the gun with the ultimate cold and the heat wave. Hey, heat wave.
Stop doing that.
Sorry. Barry doesn't really want to take the time to catch these guys since he's been putting all that effort into taking down the Reverse Flash. But a hero can't always choose when he's needed. So Barry races into action and saves the day, sending Snart and Rory where they belong. Prison. You know, and I'm confident they won't ever be able to organize a prison break. You know, although thinking about that, that would really make some great stories, I think.
You know, you're probably right.
Yeah.
They seem to fit that genre.
Yeah,
interesting.
That'd be interesting. They could do like a spinoff.
They could. I can see why they cast them for this. Now, this is their their first role, right? I mean, these guys are just getting in on the scene, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they've been in anything
else.
No?
Okay. All right, cool. Well, we'll talk about them and more, of course, but we have been gone for so long that there is plenty of Flash news that we need to discuss here. Flash news. That sounds like a segment you'd see on your afternoon local news. Just to kind of run down a few of these things that have happened since we've been gone. First of all, congratulations to The Flash. It has been renewed for Season 2. Now this is not anything that we were surprised by. At least
it's an early renewal, though.
Yeah, it did get renewed early.
We're not even halfway through the season. Well, we're almost halfway through the season, but we're not.
It feels halfway, though.
But before they even came back from the mid-season break, they had renewed, I think CW renewed Arrow, Flash, and four other of their shows, which it's great. I think that's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing more of this. And that gives everybody a chance to kind of beef up what they're doing here in Season 1 and really make a push to lead into Season 2, which should be really interesting.
I agree with that. I think that's always better work when they know they're going to be back the next season. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe it just feels like that. But I think I would guess for the CW being kind of a smaller station, they have a much better idea of what they're going to really want pretty early in the season, just based on, you know, the ratings that they see. I don't think they can probably take a chance on a show that's not showing real quick results. I could be wrong. I don't know. But it doesn't sound like they could really risk waiting on a show to see if it, you know, gets its wings. But either way, Flash got more than its wings very early on. So congratulations to those guys. We knew it was going to happen, but it's always great to hear officially. And I'm sure they were celebrating when they heard too. Also, another big congratulations, because not only have they been renewed, but they're already winning awards.
Big award here. Yeah, the they won Favorite New TV Drama in the People's Choice Awards, which, you know, in my opinion, I think really that's the kind of the one that matters. It's not the industry giving awards to itself. It's not the TV Critics Association, saying what they like on TV. It's what people who are watching the shows like. And, it's great to see that the Flash was up for it, and they are speeding away with that trophy as we speak.
Yeah, it's interesting that they won Best New Drama. I guess I don't really see this show as a drama. It's not what I would think of as a drama, but, I mean, technically they have, you know, dramatic stories, and it does fit.
Yeah.
But to me, you know,
I guess between, like, a comedy and, like, a news show.
Right.
I mean, really, I don't think there are that many categories in terms of that.
But, no, I don't either. Yeah, but to me, it feels like this is almost there's so many comic book genre shows now, it almost feels like it's something different. It's not a comedy. It's not a drama. It's definitely not a reality show. Well, you know, I don't know. Depends on.
It could be.
Depends on your grasp on reality. But
yeah,
it's more realistic than some of the reality shows, I'd say. But anyway, it beat out Constantine and Gotham, two other comic book shows, and then Forever, which I was kind of surprised was on there. I heard a lot of people can't stand that show, and How to Get Away with Murder. So congratulations to them. Man, I think well-deserved.
Again, I think that's what we're supposed to say because we host this podcast. But
well, yeah, I suppose we probably wouldn't be sharing that with you if we didn't think that.
Exactly.
All right, so also, speaking of shows that represent the comic book genre, there's a new one related to the CW, I guess. I guess I can't really say it's on the CW because it's on something called the CW Seed. Now, I'll be honest with you. I did not even know what the CW Seed was before I saw this story. Did you?
No, I am unfamiliar with that, and once this starts airing, I'll need to figure out how to see that. I don't think you have to subscribe to it or anything like that. I think it's just online via the CW.
Yeah, it's like it's online branch of the CW or something. And I guess you can. I haven't looked into it. I just saw this show, this new comic book show, Vixen, which is an animated show. Is going to be on the CW Seed, and I don't know if there what other shows are on that as well, but Vixen animated series is going to be placed in the universe of Arrow and Flash,
which is really cool. And the promo image has an animated Arrow and an animated Flash character standing behind Vixen, which, to me, it tells me that at some point we may have some guest stars from this show on that animated series.
Oh, you mean as their voices?
Yeah.
You know, that didn't even occur to me. That should have been the first thing that occurred to me. But I saw that they were going to be on it. Matter of fact, they actually play a role in Vixen's origin, it sounds like. And if you don't know who Vixen is, then you're in the same boat I was before this story came out. I actually generally pride myself on knowing most of the DC characters. You know, I did read a lot of DC characters for many years, and I could not remember Vixen.
She was in the Justice League, man.
I know. For some reason, this one's not standing out to me. So,
granted, it was the Detroit-based Justice League run by Martian Manhunter. So
what?
Vibe
I mean, that
was in that.
It seems obvious, doesn't it?
So she, for those that don't know, just real quick, she's an African American female character, and she has a totem, an animal totem that she wears around her neck, and she can. You remember that show Manimal?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
How do I remember Manimal and not Vixen?
What, all six episodes of Simon McCorkindale series?
This is a good show.
She can take on the attributes of an animal. So she doesn't turn into the animal like Manimal did. But if she needs to get the speed of a cheetah or the grace of a gazelle or the vision of a hawk or something like that, she can use this totem to get those powers somehow. And that's the way she is in the comics. So I'm not sure what the cartoon's going to be about, but that'll be coming later this year on CW Seed. So we'll keep you updated on that as we hear more about
it. And it's going to be more, you know, Arrow's kind of a gritty reality Flash is more of a science-y kind of based, and so they say Vixen is more of the magical type. So it is kind of a different branch of this universe. I like how they're getting little different things here and there that still fit together.
It sounds like they're doing good stuff, you know, here for television, at least with the CW. We'll see how Constantine fares over on NBC. It doesn't sound like it's doing too well, and it's not necessarily a superhero show, but it is a comic book show. And we'll have to see how Supergirl does in after the pilot on CBS. They've cast Supergirl, and we'll be filming a pilot shortly, so we'll see if that actually I think it is picked up, or maybe they just picked up a pilot for that. I can't remember which it is. Either way.
I can't remember, but they are casting it now and getting those names out, so we'll probably fill you in on that pretty soon here too, but well, you know, also this is something that someone put on our Facebook page. I want to say just a little bit after Christmas maybe. And I don't know. I thought it was important. To me, it felt important. And so I just wanted to share how some Flash fans, you know, because Flash fans, they know what they like and they stand by their Flash. They have sent a petition to the White House for Flash Appreciation Day. I think this is a great idea.
To celebrate his 75th anniversary.
That's right.
Or the 75th anniversary of Flash Comics number one, at least.
Yeah, and what I also like is that this is something that has happened in the Flash universe, in the comics, where they've had the Flash Appreciation Day. And I thought that was kind of neat that it correlated with that. And, hey, I think we should do it.
Yeah, well, it's they're asking the White House to honor this petition, and it's at petitions.whitehouse.gov. You can look up Flash Appreciation Day. You need to get 100,000 signatures by February 10th, 2015. And as of now that we record this show, they have 703. So. For the 99,297 fans of our podcast out there, if you're listening, go and say that, yes, you too would like to have Flash Appreciation Day.
I think it's going to make it. I mean, now that we've told everybody, I think it's a sure thing.
Yeah, we just have to get that word out there. So
absolutely. All right.
I agree.
So if you're interested in Flash Appreciation Day, go check that out. All right. Well, we better get into some you know, real Flash appreciation by talking about his triumphant return to the airwaves here.
And of course, he starts off this episode by saying that he is not the fastest man alive, which I thought was really cool, as he's being chased by this crazy-looking drone that Cisco had set up. But he is seeing his place in the world, right? He's realized that he is not the fastest, and he has to get better. And so that's what he's been doing over the break, I guess. He's been training.
You know, it seems to me that is I kind of thought about this when they were showing that scene, and he was humbly admitting that he is not the fastest man alive. But that seems to be a good heroic trait. You know, I mean, I don't necessarily – hear of that when the people compare heroes and villains, but knowing that you're not as good as your counterpart or as good as someone else and wanting to get better because of that, kind of pushing yourself because of that, instead of a villainous trait would be more like, you know, you think you are the best and nobody can beat you. That's usually the downfall of villains, actually. So I like that he's a bit humble.
Are you listening to that, Dr. Doom? Yeah, I'm talking to you. That's a good point. No, it is a good the traits they put for the heroes, you know, being humble, I think it's something that is, you know, it's probably a good trait for people to have. You don't want to be a big braggart. Cause you know, there are times when you can humble brag, but other than that, you don't, you know, just go around saying how cool you are. That's why you hire people to come and do that for you.
he kind of did. He kind of not brag really, you know, but he was kind of showboating a little bit. He'd send those drones after him, and was it him that he's like, "Are you gonna bring it or what?"
Yeah, after they're discussing, maybe we should go a little easy on him, and then he's like, "Come on, bring it." And then Wells was like, "Okay, you heard him," but still, they don't want to. They're pushing him in the right ways. Obviously, the weaponry they're using on him, I mean, it appears to be live. I assume that they, you know, even if they were to hurt him, he can heal fast enough.
Yeah, I think they're relying on his healing powers for that.
Yeah, you would think they wouldn't be using, you know, high explosives or whatever. I don't know. So,
no, I think they're. I mean, anything they would improve on their weaponry, I think, would just be for speed to keep up with him and to keep pushing him, but to not intentionally hurt him. You know, it's the training weapons.
Yeah.
So he's focusing on, and this one feels to me as if it's kind of the season is progressing in real time. We've talked about that on Arrow before, where for a long time, the Arrow series was happening at the same, you know, time progression as the actual shows would air. So one show would be a week after the previous one, and whatever is happening in the Arrow universe is a week after the whatever happened the week before. And that's what the Flash seems to be doing. Now, Arrow has kind of gotten away from that lately, but this seems as if it's about a month after the Christmas episode. Yeah?
Yeah.
So I would
agree with that.
I would assume that for that month, he has been just intensely training, trying to get faster, just faster than what he thinks Reverse Flash is capable of. So during that time,
and it sounds like he's progressed according to what Caitlin and Cisco and Harrison Wells have talked about.
Yeah, for sure. Although he still doesn't feel, I don't think Barry feels yet as if he's even close to where he needs to be. He just wants to keep pushing himself. So he's focusing all of his energy on getting faster. And so when Snart returns, comes back, you know, he's trying to bring out the Flash to expose him. So Barry decides to kind of back off and just let the cops handle this. Now, you know, we learn that it's because Wells is sort of pushing him in that direction, and Joe doesn't agree. They get in a nice little awkward, cold stare later. It was like a police station, I think it was. But what do you think about that? Maybe it is better if he just lets the cops handle these rogues. I mean, these guys don't have superpowers, and that's kind of what Barry was focusing on.
Well, I kind of agree with Joe's take on this. It's when Joe was talking to Wells at the police station after Cisco demonstrated these new shields, the shields that defrost automatically, heat shields or whatever.
Oh, the little ones with the Tron light cycles painted on them? Those?
Yeah, that's what it looked like, right? Joe was, you know, very suspicious of Wells, continues to be suspicious of Wells, and you know, says Barry usually would, you know, be willing to save a puppy, you know, kind of thing. And yet he doesn't want to help out with this. And Wells says, well, you know, maybe he feels he needs to train and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's weird. That's what he said too, but it doesn't sound like him. And even though later Barry said, you know, I'm an adult, I can make my own choices, he's young, he's being influenced by those around him, you know, by somebody saying, hey, you know, this is important. And I don't discount the fact that it is important for him to train, but he needs to, you know, to thy own self be true. You know, he needs to look at his, you know, what his mission statement is, right? I mean, it's his company, right? You know, he's the Flash. He's the one that's putting his life on the line. And I understand that he needs to get to that point where he feels if the Reverse Flash comes back, or he has the opportunity to, that he can take this guy down, because as he points out to Joe, he can just run through the station and kill everybody.
But let me, and I don't disagree with you. I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate here, but
sure.
I think this is probably something, you know, heroes have to struggle with a lot. But if you really think about Wells' argument, and again, you know, Wells knows more than he should know. Captain Cold, because he doesn't have those powers, he really could use his villainous ways to put average people in danger, you know, just bystanders in danger. And that's exactly what happened last time, is all mm-hmm. the people on that train almost died, and they didn't, you know, thanks right. to Barry. But if Barry hadn't been there, if the Flash hadn't been fighting Cold, that probably wouldn't have happened. So maybe this is just a guy that the cops have to get. But I agree with you. I mean, from Joe's point of view, you know, a hero doesn't choose who you save. If you have the ability to help, you help.
Right. And now to amend my argument slightly, I was just going to add that, you know, when it comes to metahumans, I feel that it's essential that Barry helps out, because, I mean, you know, he too is a metahuman, and naturally, or not naturally, but sometimes the powers can only be stopped by other people with powers. These guys, Heatwave and Cold, they don't have powers. They just have weaponry.
Right.
And, you know, if the cops would use a gun once in a while, they might actually be able to stop these two, but they're just going around shooting up, you know, even when the Flash gets involved, it's like, you know, don't you have a SWAT team? I'm pretty sure they do have a SWAT team. I think we saw them in the one of the other episodes, like the Plastique episode, I want to say. You know, let's take out these guys. They, I mean, Joe managed to accidentally, seemingly, hit the heat gun and put it out of commission there. So, I don't know. I think the police could have handled this on their own, so I don't think that it was essential for Barry to get involved, but you know, it does provide for, you know, good storytelling.
Oh, sure, sure. Like, well, and
to give him that conundrum and stuff.
Right. And they, you know, they did have weapons that they that were really powerful that they're not used to, that the police don't have anything comparatively, you know, my words aren't flowing about these guns, but you know that
they're freezing up.
Yes, exactly. That's the problem right there. Anyway, they were stronger than the police. That was my point. But
yeah,
you know, it is something I struggle with. But I also struggle with the fact that he really does kind of need to get better for these metahuman ones. And sometimes I see that too. You know, I see in superhero movies where, when there is somebody stronger, like a Superman or in the Avengers or whatever, you get in the danger of letting the police look dumb because they're not doing anything. So I like it when they kind of help out and pitch in. And so anyway, moving on from that, but let's talk about Wells just a little bit.
Okay.
They have a little discussion, which I don't know. It actually seemed a little odd. Felt like Wells was kind of he brought it up, which I wouldn't have expected. That you know, he asked him. You know,
he brings a lot of stuff up. Yeah,
and I think he's using it. I think he does that to manipulate how Barry thinks, which worked really well.
Yeah,
but
so far it's working. Yeah,
he asked him. You know, are we enemies? Are we friends? You know,
yeah, kind of out of nowhere, he just like, are we enemies? And, why are you in the shadows, dude?
Are you my enemy? Should I be worried? But it's interesting that he's asking him this, and my question is why? Like, what is his purpose? Why is he doing it? They didn't seem to be having any issues. Barry was even a little surprised that he was asking him.
I believe the asking occurred after Joe and Wells had a discussion at the police station. And I think that Wells might have thought that, well, maybe Joe's talked to Barry. And, you know, it's like you said, I think that there's that manipulative element there.
Mm-hmm.
From Barry's standpoint, it's just like, hey, I'm just checking in. I want to make sure we're okay. From Wells' standpoint, I feel like it's he's saying, hey, are we enemies? And just gauging Barry's reaction, like, that's an interesting way to put it and the first question to ask. And if Barry were to, you know, react in a certain way, maybe a guarded way or something like that, then Wells might realize that something is up. Mm. Like, Barry knows more than he should know.
Okay.
So he's using it kind of as a barometer to see where Barry's at, what he knows.
Okay, yeah. I felt like it was more than that. But maybe you're right. Maybe he was just checking the waters.
And I mean, again, from Barry's standpoint, or what Wells is trying to portray it to Barry, it seems like it's just a, hey, you know, how are we doing? Am I pushing you too hard? You know, I think sometimes, you know, it's good to be pushed hard. And, you know, especially in my wheelchair. Whee! But, it seems creepy because we know something's up. But I think, again, from Barry's point of view, it's just sort of him looking out for him as that other surrogate father figure. Because Barry points out, you know, he would have paid money for this guy's autograph, and now he gets to work with him. So I think there's still a little bit of stardust in his eyes.
Yeah.
In this relationship.
I can see that.
Which I think Wells is counting on.
That's kind of how I feel about you sometimes, too, actually. When I'm talking to you, you know? So, yeah.
You're so sweet.
Well, okay, so their relationship is interesting, and we know that's going to have to get something's going to happen in the future here with them. He just doesn't know it yet. But Caitlin said something interesting. That she was talking to Barry, I guess, talking about how Ronnie had, what'd she say, broadened her horizons. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she was saying that she used to just do everything the same every day, and then he took her, I can't remember what it was, like skiing, and then he made her eat Indian food. Like, he just introduced her to things that she would never have done on her own.
Okay. There was an interesting line that she said that really kind of made me think about the overall theme of this episode. And it was, you know, whatever happens next will be better. And I thought about the last episode before the break with Reverse Flash, where Barry really realized what his limitations were. Before, he was just kind of testing them, and then he would adjust himself to match it. But now he still hasn't been able to adjust himself to this, and it's a lot different. It feels different. I think he knows it's different. And so that got me thinking for, you know, each of these characters, whatever happens next will be better. Now, I guess, you know, I'll talk about Caitlin first because she's the one that said it. She's been investigating. She's been investigating where Ronnie is where he is. I mean, she knows he's alive now and what's going on and why he's got these powers. You know, now that she knows more after finding out more information about this, is it going to be better? I don't know. Mm. I don't know if it's going to be better. I don't know if that's the word I would use to describe that, but.
Yeah, it feels like it's one of those things that people say when they
want to feel better.
I didn't want to say, well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say grieving, but yeah, maybe just when they want to, when they're down in the dumps or something like that. But it's one of those aphorisms that's not really true necessarily because, well, the next thing may not be better. It may be different. And over time, you might forget how bad whatever it is you're going through right now is. But I mean, it's a very optimistic way to look at things. But better, I don't know. You know, I think that she thinks that, you know, like basically, which I think she's saying is just it can't get any worse.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that makes more sense.
Which
and it's also completely
which
wrong.
May or may not be true as well. So.
Okay. Well, since we're speaking of women, let's look at Iris.
Okay.
Well, Iris is moving on with her life.
Yes.
And she's decided to go ahead and jump in with Eddie. She's going to move in with Eddie.
And hope she doesn't have any arguments with him that cause her to want to leave.
Yeah, well, you know, it's too late. That's what happens when you live together. You have an argument and you just have to stick it out. You have to figure out how to get along with it. But now that she knows how Barry feels about her, she seems to be having some second thoughts. She's not necessarily changing her plan, but she's definitely having some second thoughts.
Which is good. I mean, you would think that someone presented – well, if you did have feelings for somebody – and she does have feelings for Barry. I mean, they're friends and, you know, obviously she thinks about him and she cares about him fondly. And previously I had really only thought about him as a brother, and I think now she's realizing, well, maybe there's something else. But yeah, she hasn't changed her plans, which I don't know that I would necessarily expect that to happen.
No, I agree with you. But it's interesting now that she's going to have this strange kind of relationship with Barry. It's like the you know it's a Ross Rachel relationship. You know, one of them
from friends.
Yeah, one of them liked the other, but the other didn't know it. And then when the other found out, they realized, oh well, maybe I like them too. And so those two, I know we were pretty hard on Iris the first half of the season, but I think she might get a little bit more interesting now. The other thing that I'm going to be looking for as we move on here is did she you know is she going to feel differently about him now that Eddie maybe sees him as more of a hero than maybe he did before, and the police see him more as of a hero. But the Flash. So once but the reason I say that is because she's eventually going to find out. I mean she's got to.
I would think this season that would happen.
Yeah. And we've said that we're going to think it's going to be this season. So I'll kind of keep an eye on Iris and for all you Iris fans, I know there are some. I'm not giving up on her. And I still like Iris, okay? You know, there's just some things, you know, I hope she does a little bit differently and kind of adjusts her thinking as we move forward. So let's get into some other characters here. Let's run down the rest of this list because there's some other stuff we want to talk about for sure. But Joe, I'm digging Joe in this episode, and whatever happens next will be better. I think Joe's actually in a good place right now.
Yeah, I'm afraid that something bad's going to happen because
don't say that. I think you're right. Everything's going good for him.
Because there was a line that he said, and I didn't write it down, but you know, it was basically he was saying, "Hey, you know, this is good or something. Or, you know, I feel good or something like that." And I'm like, "Oh man,
that's always bad news."
Yeah, anytime a character says, you know, it's like, "Oh, this is the best time," or you know, "I'm at such a great point in my life." That's time for the writers to mess with him. I think he's, you know, as a parent, I think he's having some difficulty with his daughter's relationship. Again, just because she's moving out, right? I think parents can get up, you know, a little upset with that. That's a pretty dramatic change, especially when you've had your child living with you, you know, even into their adult life like that. But also, you know, He's not completely crazy about Eddie, even though he works with him.
Well,
it's kind of weird.
Yeah, crazy about Eddie dating his daughter. I mean, yeah. I don't know
well,
that
I
it's
think
Eddie.
Professionally, he's fine with Eddie.
Yeah, but
yeah,
but I like now. Okay, so Barry decides to move in with Joe. And
which is cool. Yeah, I that's great. I like
that. I do too. I'm really looking forward to seeing their interaction and their relationship, because I really like Joe. Joe's one of my favorite characters, you know, apart from Barry on this show. But and I love that he wore the stocking cap the whole time in this because it was the cold episode. Yeah. But and I want to point out too that one of the reasons I've liked Flash forever, and one of the reasons I, when people ask me, hey, you know, what superpower would you have? I'll say speed over flying any day. When he moved back in with Joe, that is a perfect example of why I want speed powers. How awesome would it be to be able to move something and do things that fast? Man, just run across the
counter.
Okay, what?
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. But counterpoint, like, hey, Iris is never going to clean up all this stuff. Hint, hint, Barry.
Yeah. And Barry's like, that's like having a truck.
So yeah, he has to, like, clean up all of Iris's mess, just like it's, you know, he has to, like, take down the Christmas tree. It's like, I'm not going to use my speed. All right, fine.
Yeah, it's like, so. It's like when you have a truck, you know, all your friends want you to help them haul stuff.
Yeah.
well, I really love that. Now, I thought about this as we were watching, and I think we even actually asked this on a show. Did we ever actually see Barry's apartment? Have they shown Barry's apartment?
No, we had talked about this. We weren't sure where he was living. There never had been any reference to it because we knew that at some point he had lived at the house.
Right.
But we don't know when he moved out or why or anything like that. So,
that's what I thought. So looking back on this again, I think I know one of the reasons that they had him move, the writers had him move back in with Joe, because I don't think they've just really been able to fit Barry's apartment in the storyline. I don't think they've been able to make it
obviously
work.
So they couldn't fit it in the. They couldn't fit it in the budget. They just, we don't have to build another set.
That's possible, too. But, you know, season two. It is an awful small house that Joe lives in, too. So, obviously, they don't have much of a budget for sets. But, this is going to this is gonna be kind of a cool relationship. And it reminds me. Now, all I picture is, since they never showed Barry's apartment, I just picture him. He had some really dirty apartment, and his dog would, you know, be hanging around. And it turns out it was like John Wesley Shipp's old apartment or something. But,
and John Wesley Shipp's dog.
And his dog, yeah. Still same dog. So Joe is in a good place, so we better watch him. We need to protect him. Barry needs to keep a close eye on him. But let's talk about Cisco a little bit. I liked what happened to Cisco in this. He, you know, he was helping the cops, and they were giving him kind of a hard time because of the accident from Star Labs. And I think, you know, Cisco really feels bad. I think he really wants to make up for it. Remember the very first episode, he had made the Flash suit that was going to be for the fire department, right?
Yeah.
In Central City. And so now he's made these shields for the police. And by the end, they thank him. They actually show some appreciation for what he did. And I think he feels a little redeemed.
I think so too, but I don't know, I kind of had a problem with the way they portrayed Cisco in this episode because, you know, it's like he, and I'm sure Wells was behind this, I'm sure Wells called up the police and said, hey, we've got something going on. And, you know, it's really, Star Labs is just these three people working there now, right? I mean, it's it's not this big laboratory with all these people. I'm like, nobody works there anymore. So basically Cisco is the face of Star Labs, or maybe even Wells, but Wells is so disgraced. Like, I don't think that too many people really want to have anything to do with him.
Right.
And so, I mean, I feel it's like, sometimes I feel like Cisco has responsibilities, and other times I feel like he's just this kid that, you know, just sits there and thinks up cool gadgets, you know, and it has fun making these cool gadgets and coming up with names for the supervillains. Like, so I felt like they were trying to give him something to do with this. And I know he feels guilty from, I don't know, it's like the second or third episode where he was talking about, you know, the explosion and how he, you know, couldn't let Ronnie out and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, just there was just something about, you know, it's like, hey, you know, that's great. Works good on mannequins, but, you know, how does it work on cops? It's like, really? The cops are just being kind of jerky to him, and then everything seemed to work out okay, except we forgot that a whole bunch of cops got burned. But then at the end, you know, the Flash saves the day, and then Captain Singh is like, hey, those shields worked great. pats him on the back. And it's like,
but it did, though. The shield saved the cops. Some of them, like you said, they got burned, but...
Saved Barry, too, but... You know, I don't know. I just...
I liked
that
it.
That was not my favorite scene.
I liked it because I feel like it's given Sisko a little bit more to do. And I agree with you that he's kind of just the guy that makes the fun stuff and comes up with the names. And so I need him to be more important. Not that I don't like that part of him. I really do like that part of his character. But I need him to do more, especially if eventually they're going to... make him who we think he may be from the comics, or at least
superheroify him.
Yeah, superheroify. So I liked that part of it, but I guess I understand where you're coming from. It didn't bother me, and I can see cops kind of reacting like that. Until you catch the bad guy, you know, it's you watch out for those cops, and oh yeah, they got burned. But then you know when they caught him and everything's cool. All right, let's look who I'm glad they showed appreciation for him because Flash wasn't the only person that helped them to save the day.
I mean, I think it's a way to show that, you know, in the same way that we see the cops, you know, going, oh wow, that Flash is pretty cool. Wow, he's neat. Yeah, I like him. And Barry's kind of like, wow, this is pretty cool. Everybody knows who I am. This is new. You know, he's pleased with that. It's nice to know that Sisko and Star Labs is getting a little bit of that praise as well.
Yeah.
You know, coming back from, you know, I mean, a really horrible thing. I mean, it's like an Exxon Valdez, you know, spilling oil. And it's like then people going, wow, you know, Exxon's a really cool gas station. And they're like, yeah, man, we're back. You know, it's kind of like that would be in our real world, I guess.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it did seem as if whatever happens next is going to be better for Sisko. He seems to be in a little bit better place now. Now, last thing I want to talk about, if it's going to be better for him or not, the bad guys. So Cold and Heat.
Yeah. Is it going to be better for them?
Yeah, it's going to be better. Well, you know what?
Well, it already is.
It is already.
I think.
Well, now, wait a minute. They did lose their powerful weaponry.
Okay, so... They're powerful, one-of-a-kind, very dangerous weaponry. We're just going to put in this little plastic box. Hopefully they don't keep it in the same storage facility in Starling City that the cops there keep all their evidence
yes,
and stuff
that
in. Because that's not safe. We found that out on Arrow this week. But no, they're getting carted off to Iron Heights, and they get broken out of their truck. I mean, already that's great. Right?
Yep.
I mean, maybe not for the Flash, but...
For the bad guys.
for the bad guys, yeah. I don't know.
I think it's going to be better for them. I think he knew what he was doing. Snart had a plan. He's very smart. He's a very smart guy. And he... I cannot...
If you plan to fail... I mean, if you fail to plan... You plan to fail.
Okay, very, very quick tangent. I cannot say Leonard Snart's name without thinking of the old children's book that I used to have called Are You My Mother? When the little baby bird was trying to find its mother, and at the end there was some big, you know, crane or something, and he asks if it's his mother, and the thing goes, Snart! Okay, I'm sorry. I've probably just ruined Captain Cold for everybody in the audience. I'm sorry.
No, I just think Snart's just a funny name.
It is a funny name. But, hey, that's why you become a bad guy, see? I've long suspected that people with unusual names become bad guys. But either way, whether he won this fight with Flash or not, he succeeded. He outed Flash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he had beaten the Flash, then so be it. Flash is dead. Hey, guess what? You know, we get to run the city. If he didn't beat the Flash, he had still outed him, and he had a plan to escape. He had obviously his lovely sister. Well, I don't know if she's lovely. All we've seen is her hand, but his sister
in a glove too.
Yeah.
So
maybe it's like a thing from Adam's family. hi, sis. I just pats his head. So to me, you know, it's already better. Now I have a question for you. About their guns, because yes, we saw they lost their guns and the police took them or whatever, and they apparently don't work anymore. because, you know, once you
canceled each other out.
So, but there was that scene when Mac was
Mick.
Anyway, I got the names confused. Is it Rory? Is it Mick? I'll just say Mac. Anyway, where he was fixing the gun from when Joe shot it, and right. Snart had told him to learn everything about that gun inside and out. So who's to say that they cannot just remake their guns?
They cannot remake their guns.
Hmm? Oh, well.
What?
Dang it. I guess you can say that.
I don't think anybody can say that. No, of course they can remake their – I mean, come on. They got it. Oh, you know, they're going to remake their guns. Or something is going to happen to them, and they're going to get the metahuman powers like what happened in the new 52 version of The Flash.
Yeah, I hope they don't do that. I don't even like that in the comic. I liked that they just normal humans.
I do prefer my Captain Cold with his gun.
Yeah, me too.
To a metahuman one that can just kind of fire freeze blast. Now, if he's going to use his cold gun on Caitlin Snow and maybe unlock some kind of hidden freeze powers in her as a metahuman, now that's cool. I thought maybe they were going to lean towards that a little bit here. When they froze her car, I thought she might.
Oh, you thought they were going there already, huh?
I thought that she might have gotten. I thought they might have frozen her, and then like she seemed to be fine now.
Yeah,
but just so they could tease that whole potential revelation of who we think she's going to superheroify into.
Nice, nice.
Or supervillainify into.
Oh yeah, superpowerify. All right. Yeah. Well, so now they're out, and his sister, who, you know, we suspect is Lisa Snart. Yep. Who do we think is going to be teaming up in this rogues gallery? Because, you know, we know Flash has his rogues gallery. Captain Cold and Heatwave, for sure. Who else do we think is going to be joining them in the future?
Well, if Snart's sister is, in fact, Lisa, and they take after the comic books, she has some powers and or weaponry herself, so potentially her, so there would be three of them. I'd love to see them get Boomerang in there as well, because so far the three of them would not necessarily have metahuman abilities, and Boomerang doesn't have metahuman abilities either,
right?
So I'm interested in the fact that here's a group of bad guys that are going to team up, because, I mean, how do you beat the fastest man alive when you're just a person, right? And you don't have any superpowers to combat his speed. The more the people that you've got gunning for him, the better. So I would really like to see some, you know, more non-metahuman villains, and I think Captain Boomerang fits that bill nicely. So that would be my guess as to who else would be coming back. So it'd be like a four person team in the next time we see him come back.
Okay, all right.
Did you have any thoughts
on who else I'd like to see?
Yeah,
Boomerang,
or what you thought you might show up next? Then,
so. Well, Boomerang for sure, and then you know, we know from the preview for next week, if you've seen that, that there's a potential villain there. Maybe we'll talk about that later. And, you know, I'm wondering if they're going to bring Mark Hamill's Trickster in any way, because he's another one who doesn't necessarily have metahuman powers. I guess we don't really know if he does in this incarnation, do we? They haven't said anything about it.
Correct.
But
right.
But the Trickster doesn't traditionally have...
No, Trickster is not traditionally a metahuman.
Right, yeah, no. I didn't think so. And then the one I'm wondering about that I don't recall hearing anything about is Mirror Master.
Ooh. That's right, I keep forgetting about him. I haven't heard them talk about him in any sort of teases that the producers have done.
Well, and the reason I'm wondering cool. about that is because I can't imagine how they would make that work with his powers. And I'm kind of dying to find out. I like finding out how they fit these, all these, you know, rogues and villains that I've grown up with, and how they make it kind of fit into a modern day superhero story. So, he's interesting. I'd like to see how they fit him in. He's got to show up.
I thought their use of him in the 1990 series was pretty good for figuring out. I mean, he used mirrors to kind of make holograms more so than being able to kind of exist in the mirror universe of the mirror, you know. So
right.
But yeah, that'd be really interesting. I'm looking forward to, you know, maybe they're thinking they're going to hold him back till season two.
Yeah. All right. So
they've got a lot going on so far.
Oh, they do. It's I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait for more. All right. Well, we're going to save this conversation, but I want you to think about this and tell me what your feelings are over the next few weeks. But everyone, it seems on the internet, everyone's kind of gotten in the last month, they've gotten comfortable with this idea that Harrison Wells is the Reverse Flash. But I'm just putting it out there and for you and then for all the listeners. You feel free to share your comments on this, too. You can get on our Facebook page if you want. I am not convinced that Wells is Reverse Flash.
You mean even after the actor came out and said that he's the Reverse Flash?
Even after the actor came out and said he's Reverse, even after he tried to stand up. I'm not convinced. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it just seems like they're not coming right out and saying it.
I know it's I kind of stand by my comments from our last episode. I mean, I think he's a Reverse Flash in as much as he's in control of the Reverse Flash in some fashion, and at some point he may be in the suit and other times he may not be in the suit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Once we get the time travel element into the show here,
and that's coming,
I think that'll help us sort of piece some of the things together and decide. Because the thing is he really from the future, or does he just have future knowledge? I mean,
we don't know that either.
That's a kind of a crucial clue that would lead me to make a decision one way or the other on. Is he the Reverse Flash at this point or not?
Yeah, well, definitely let us.
Or is it his future self or whatever?
Let us know what you guys think for sure. Scarlet Velocity at randomchatter.com or our Facebook page, facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast. But I'm still not convinced. So overall, I thought this was a really fantastic return from the break. And there were a few things that kind of stood out to me. Just little things here and there. Some of them I was okay with, and I'm going to start with those. But then, hey, you know, in all fairness, I want to put some of this stuff out there, some of these things that I just thought were silly or I had to.
See, you're being a little kinder than I would be. Because, I mean, I thought this was a good episode,
yeah.
But in the pantheon of episodes that we've got, I like the first Captain Cold episode a lot, and I like the interaction between Captain Cold and Heatwave, and I thought that was really fun. I thought a lot of the other stuff was a little weak in this episode.
Oh, okay.
Comparatively to what we've gotten. But let's go ahead on your list here. So this is stuff that you thought was a little off-putting.
Well, yeah, I do want to say, you know, I actually liked it. I thought it was a fairly strong episode. However, I will say it did kind of feel like a you know, what we sometimes call like a transition episode to prepare for something bigger. But I'm okay with those episodes. They don't bother me too much. But okay, here's some things that stood out. First of all, the Ghostbusters reference, the crossing the streams. I thought it was hysterical. I thought that was really funny.
It's a good reference, especially given the fact that, you know, you've got kind of these geeky people and who are talking about it. I mean, it would be if Joe used that reference, it might not have fit as well.
I agree with that. Even
I think it works.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I can't imagine somebody saying something about crossing the streams and nobody mentioning Ghostbusters. I mean, I can't even imagine, at least in this day and age, not saying something about that. So I thought it was funny, and their little reaction to it also. Okay, so the booby trap that they had Caitlin in was really, really ineffective. You know, I mean, I guess if nobody had been there, or if they weren't very smart people, it probably could have been very effective. But they got her out really easily. She didn't seem to be hurt.
Right. You know, because the shockwave was cushioned by the bottom of that office chair. I guess. I don't know. I mean, and
it just seemed like if these psychos are going to catch somebody, they're going to do something a little, especially some guy with, you know, a fire weapon. You'd do something that would be a little bit more dramatic and a little bit more surefire of killing whoever it is you're setting the booby trap on. But
right, you'd think you'd know that there's a delay on your fuse and you'd take advantage of that in some fashion.
And something that didn't throw me off, but after my my daughter mentioned it, I thought it was funny. When she was being gagged by it was Heat Wave, wasn't it?
It was Heat Wave.
My daughter just went, "Oh, I bet that thing tastes disgusting." So I don't know. I just thought that was funny from a different point of view. All right. So let me lay these.
Also an ineffective way to gag somebody too. But
yeah, it's true.
Whatever.
And,
okay.
And if you hear somebody screaming like that, you probably shouldn't. You should stop and evaluate the situation better. But all right, here's some things I thought were really, really silly.
Okay.
So Heatwave and Captain Cold are in the street. They're shooting Flash. He's trying to get them to cross the streams. They're doing property damage. They're putting people's lives in danger. And the police are just standing there watching them. Just shoot them.
Right.
Just shoot them in the leg if you want to. I'd shoot them anywhere. Just shoot them. They're not paying attention to the police. They're focused on the Flash. Right. They're 15 feet in front of you. Just shoot them.
I know. They're just doing crowd control, right? Like I said.
Which was important for some people, right? I mean you gotta protect the idiots that showed up after he broadcast it on TV. But hey, one guy could shoot him. Come on. Okay. I thought that was silly. I mean,
Officer Redshirt to the front, please.
they could have changed that just slightly. You know, I mean, I don't know. Have Captain Cold make a big ice wall or something. I don't know, but prevent the police from shooting them if you're going to just not have them be part of the action.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
What about you? See anything else?
So, you know, when you get off your plane, your private plane from Europe, and you've just bought a $25 million painting, of course you're just carrying it by the frame, right? I mean, it's not even framed. It's just the canvas stretched across the board. You just walk it out at night. You have your servant dude bring it out. And then you've stolen the $25 million painting, and you just burn it? I don't know. I would have thought they might have leveraged that a little bit.
Yeah. They are crazy, remember. Especially Mac Mick, Rory. Well, hey, you know what?
I mean,
maybe if you're super rich, you do carry a $25 million painting the way I would carry, you know, a painted Led Zeppelin mirror from a carnival. But I agree with you. I'm like, hey, wait, that's not even wrapped. At first I thought it was wrapped. I'm like, oh, look, it's wrapped red and blue.
No, that's what the painting was. You actually have a painted Led Zeppelin mirror from a carnival?
No.
Oh.
Should I?
Okay. No. Yeah, man. You put it in your basement.
I got to go take that mirror down.
Dude. All right. Yeah, so I thought that was, that was just one of the
that stood out
other
to me.
Things that I saw here.
Stood out to me. Now, I get that Flash works hard. And a fight with Captain Cold and Heatwave would tire you out. You're running up buildings. You're running all around trying to get him across the streams. But on the way to the fight, did he do something? Was he saving somebody? Did he run all the way from Mexico? Why was he so tired when he got to the fight?
Well, I think because he was training, but...
Okay, all right. That's fine. I'll take that.
I don't know. I mean, it's like... Oh, you need to be at this place at dusk or whatever they said it was. You know, I don't know.
It seems strange, but
I'm at a loss.
That's not a huge deal. It was just something, again, it kind of took me out of it and stood out. And last but not least, thing I think they probably could have just adjusted just a little bit.
Let me just preface before you get into this one. I'm just going to just let our listeners know that science is hard. Okay. So go ahead.
Okay.
I've
so
just taking all the thunder out of your sails here.
You know, so we went scuba, self-contained scuba. Underwater breathing apparatus. Maybe
I got it.
Firestorm is scuba. Firestorm came from underwater. No, wait, no.
Firestorm is scuba. Scuba is Firestorm. You know what that means to me? I think that somebody just really wanted it to spell Firestorm.
The fusion.
To steal a line from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. The fusion ignition research experiment in science of transmutation originated in RNA and molecular structures. Suck on that, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay. Wow, really?
And then we melted a concrete wall.
So Scuba makes you think of Firestorm being an acronym. Couldn't you just say the project was called Firestorm? I mean, maybe it was just she comes across it on a website. I don't know what. That just seems weird. But anyway.
The fact that I'm not a huge Firestorm reader. I read it back in the 80s when it started. It was actually a backup in the Flash comics for a while, too, before he got his own series.
Uh-huh, right.
So I'm familiar with him, but nowhere that I'm aware of did they ever have, like, Project Fire, Firestorm.
Yeah, that's because it's too long.
Or an acronym that way, like S.H.I.E.L.D. or, you know, like NHL. Or something like that, you know. It just
even if it is, and fine, that's fine.
I can see why they're doing it, acronym, right? Because they need to have some reason,
sure,
for what they're going to give us.
And I'll even give them that. Like, but to think that might be an acronym after hearing the word Scuba. I mean, first of all, Firestorm, that would never occur to me. Yeah. The dude's on fire. That would never occur to me that was. Oh wait, maybe it's an acronym. That's
yeah. What could this mean?
Okay, no, I was very negative. I was very negative at the end of the show, and I apologize. I did love the episode, as always. Even if it was a weaker episode, it was still a good episode. So just a few little tiny – I'm nitpicking now. I'm just nitpicking.
It is a little nitpicky, but, I mean, if they didn't have stuff that called attention to itself like this, we probably would just be able to gloss over it, or people could say, well, you really are nitpicking. I mean, I mean, this is nitpicking to an extent, but like you said, it took you out of the episode. And if it takes you out of the episode, there's something, something wrong with that. It's because, if they're trying to hold your attention for, I mean, gosh, it's only really 40 minutes worth of show. I mean, granted, it takes place in an hour, but, they need to be able to help you maintain that illusion of the universe here.
I agree.
Too crazy. So,
okay. So because I nitpicked so much, we're running short on time, but I do want to go run through the references real quick. So why don't you, help me out with some of these?
Well, so the people that had the painting, their driver, butler, whoever it was, said that, their son Hartley called and they said, we don't have a son. So Hartley Rathaway is better known as the Pied Piper. And it looks like we will be getting introduced to him in the next episode. And that is a villain/ally of the Flash, depending on what's going on. There's some interesting storylines they could go with this. So we'll see what they do with that.
Yeah,
character.
Even in the comics, when he was an ally, he had started off as a villain and he kind of changed his ways. So.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on when you're reading the comics, whether he's an ally or a... Mm-hmm. He started as a villain, then became an ally. So, Jason Rush, the grad student that Caitlin talked to, who's working at Mercury Labs now, which we recall is where Tina McGee works. In the comic books, he actually is it's either the second or the third Firestorm. It depends on how you count what is Firestorm, since Firestorm's made up of a couple different characters at the same time. Anyway, so that's a nice nod to the Firestorm mythos. Mick's speech that he's giving about dotting the T's and crossing the I's, where he's kind of obviously mixed up that saying. It's basically that speech is pulled from a Prison Break episode, except that it was Wentworth Miller was giving the speech to Dominic Purcell. So I thought that was pretty cool. Big hat tip to Greg for referencing that. I found an animated GIF of the two scenes side by side, so we'll post that up on our Facebook page so you guys can see that. The comic Barry pulled out of his backpack is Cartoon Network starring number four, which has Space Ghost on it. It was a series of one-shot comic books that featured different Cartoon Network characters, and the comic was from December of 1999. So that would fit with probably what Barry would have been reading at that time when he was getting beat up with the red and yellow backpack. Very, very Flash-looking backpack. There was a stuffed turtle that Iris was getting from her dad when she or found when she was moving, called McSnurtle the Turtle. And I found some information about McSnurtle online. And I guess in the 1940s, DC published a magazine called Funny Stuff, number one. And it introduced a character called Merton McSnurtle, a.k.a. the Terrific What's-It. And the Terrific What's-It was a superpowered turtle with a costume design based on the Golden Age Flash. McSnurtle's nephew also became a speedster turtle known as Fastback, and he was part of the superhero animal team from the 80s comic book series called The Zoo Crew, also known as Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew.
Yeah. On a side note, I hear CBS is starting a new series called McSnurtle the Turtle. So it's going to be based in the same universe as Flash, I believe.
And it's going to be like a procedural show?
Yeah. Like it's crime drama. It's just crime. Yeah. It's very dark. Very dark.
Is it gritty?
Dark and gritty and turtly.
That's good. Captain Cold referred to Flash as the Scarlet Speedster, which I think is the first time we've heard him referred to as that, which is cool. It's a great nickname for Flash. That's one of my favorite ways to refer to him. And then the showdown with the Rogues Gallery there took place at Porter and Main, which I believe is a reference to Howard Porter, who's a comic artist who worked on he's worked in DC Comics. He was a regular penciler on The Flash during the Geoff Johns era on the book. And I think that pretty much does it. There were some other things, but I think we already touched on
it. Yeah, they got some good ones in this week. I like the references. So, man alive. Okay, so I talk so much about all those little fun things that it's time to go. We got to run for sure.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you about this week's episode, and if you listening enjoy the episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. I had a good time over the Christmas break here looking at our different reviews and seeing what everybody had to say. It was really, really pleasing to hear that you guys like listening to us so much. You can also contact us by email, as Josh mentioned earlier, at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. Or you can tweet at us at Scarlet Velocity or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Yeah, and you can also check out our other shows that we do, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, and we're talking about the show Agent Carter right now. So that's going to be fun. That's back next week also. Those are both at randomchatter.com, and all of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please, please share it with your friends, all your flashy friends. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.